Good morning. It's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. So good to have you with us. In case you missed our tribute to Cokie Roberts, wonderful NPR journalist who died earlier today at the age of 75, you can go to our Air Talk segment page where people are still posting their tributes, their memories of Cokie Roberts, our Air Talk page at kpcc.org. Coming up a little bit later this hour, the ongoing controversies over alimony. Over the years, one of the segments I'm most pitched by listeners is to look at the latitude that judges have for awarding spousal support. People who are disgruntled over what they have to pay in alimony often contact me. You need to do a segment on this. So today we're going to be doing a segment on that later, as there's a Huntington Beach man who's actually gathering signatures for a ballot measure he hopes to qualify, which would limit the number of years someone is eligible for spousal support. So that's coming up a little bit later. But we begin with a survey published in the Journal of the American Medical Association, which looks at American women's first sexual experience and found that almost 7% of the women who were surveyed said that their first sexual experience either was coerced or was forced. In other words, it was not of their own free will that they gave consent to sexual intercourse. My question for you is about your first sexual experience, if it was one that was not in the way that you hoped it would be, that if it was not with your full consent, did that influence how you talked with your daughters and sons about their sexual activity? And did you share with them anything about how they should think of their sexuality or approach it in light of your own personal experience? We're at 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722, or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. How did your first sexual experience factor into the ways you talked with your kids about their sexual activity to come in future years? Joining me is the lead author of the study from Harvard Medical School and Cambridge Health Alliance, Dr. Laura Hawks. She's an internist and researcher. Dr. Hawks, good to have you with us today.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Share with us just a little bit of how this question was framed in the survey of American women, and particularly, you know, forced, we understand, where there's with physical force that's used for first intercourse. But how is coercion, how is that described?
Yeah, so I'm glad to be able to clarify this right off the bat, because actually the survey asks, I can read the full wording of the survey question. It's, would you say that this first vaginal intercourse was voluntary or not voluntary? That is, did you choose to have sex of your own free will or not? So so this is really asking about whether or not this was a consensual experience, and it's really asking women, was your first sexual experience, was it rape? And I believe that has, there's been a little bit of confusion in the media, about whether or not this was, a real forced sexual encounter or a coerced sexual encounter.
And
so,
I'm glad you clarified, because to me, I wasn't quite clear when it comes to, for example, if you've got a boyfriend, of a girl who, you know, is constantly, you know, pressuring her, when are we going to have sex? I want to have sex. I wouldn't call that coercion. It is a form of pressure. Coercion, I would think of as something where there is some threat of reputational or physical or something that would harm the individual, as aside from just, you know, being pressured to have sex.
Yes. And so the 6.5% number really looks at women who identified their own sexual experience as having been forced. We then went on to ask some questions about how that experience sort of happened for these women, what sort of forms of coercion were used. So whether or not it was a physical threat, actual physical violence, being held down, or verbal threats. But we did not mean to create some sort of confusion about whether or not there was different gradations of the threat with those by reporting those questions.
And you found of the women responding to this who said that it was force, it was not of their own volition. This happened at the average age of 15?
Yes, the average age was alarmingly young. So these are really girls at the time of their assault. It was the average age was 15 years old. And so to sort of compare that, the average age of women who had their first sexual experience in a voluntary way were older than 17 at the age that it happened.
And do we know if what percentage of these cases were boys or men considered that they considered their boyfriends or people they didn't know well? Do we have a sense of the nature of the experience?
You know, we actually don't have any information besides the age of the assailant is the word that we've been using in this case. We don't have any information about the relationship between the woman who identified her experience as forced and her assailant.
And again, we're asking you as an AirTalk listener, if there was something that you experienced in your first sexual experience that was cautionary for you to share with your son or daughter, I'd like to hear what that was, how it affected you as a parent in sharing your experiences. 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Also joining me, a program director and co-founder of the sexual education nonprofit More Than Sex Ed, Emmalinda McLean. Thank you so much, Emmalinda, for joining us. First, what's your sense of how this factors into parental conversations with their kids about sex?
We absolutely affirm that parents are the primary sexuality educators of their children, and so the experiences that parents bring and the baggage around their own sexuality that they bring to raising their children can definitely color their ability to have healthy and affirming conversations with young people who are trying to navigate their own sexual development and discovery. So I really appreciate you bringing this conversation to the light.
And I wonder if for the girls who experience this, if that's affected their parenting to where maybe they're more vigilant in how they, you know, watch their daughters and sons, and you have any sense of how that affects how parents who experience this as teens, how that affects the way they parent?
We do hear often from parents in More Than Sex Ed workshops about the concerns that they are bringing and the fears that they have. We hear a lot of fear coming from parents, and we recognize that it's a really scary topic. And the message that we want to bring is that sexuality is a positive, healthy, affirming, and enriching part of life when it's treated with respect and responsibility. And it is abuses of sexuality that can lead to months or years of a lifetime of trauma. And so we really try to educate parents and schools that starting these conversations younger and building a culture of consent before hypersexualized messages have really been internalized, that will set young people up for having healthy, consensual, mutually pleasurable relationships throughout their life.
Do we have a sense of this 1 in 16 for whom the first sexual intercourse was involuntary, whether this is coming from what the girls perceive as their boyfriends or from close relationships, or whether these are party situations where they're attacked, or do we have a sense of the scenarios here?
From our survey data, we do not have that information, no.
Yeah, Emmalinda, I was asking you, I'm sorry, is there do you have a sense of the ways in which this happens?
I don't have any statistics on that. I think that it is quite a range. I will tell you that when I read this study, I was surprised that those numbers were not higher, and we know that generally statistics related to sexual assault crimes are usually underreported. It's often the most underreported crime, particularly when the victim is a minor. So I think that it is unfortunately safe to assume that they are numerous and they occur in many different contexts.
We're talking with sex educator Emelinda McLean, a program director and co-founder of More Than Sex Ed, an L.A.-based sex ed nonprofit, and Dr. Laura Hawks of Harvard Medical and Cambridge Health Alliance. She's an internist and researcher and lead author of the study published in the Journal of the American Medical Association, looks at first sexual intercourse experience, surveying American women about this, found almost 7% described their first sexual intercourse as involuntary. 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722. And I'm particularly interested in hearing from you if you're a parent and you had a first sexual intercourse experience that was involuntary, how that then affected your conversations with your own kids, if that changed the way you think you otherwise would have related to your kids, how controlling you might be, how safety conscious you might be, how suspicious you might be of their relationships or friendships, words of advice that you offered them. Did you talk with your teenager about your first experience as a way of, you know, sharing from what happened to you? 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Alice tweets at AirTalk, "My experience unfortunately reflects the findings. My first sexual experience wasn't really a choice. I have a 20-month-old, and I will do everything I can to teach my daughter about consent and the value of sex. Thank you for talking about this." That's Alice tweeting at AirTalk. 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpcc.org. I look forward to your joining us. And again, how your personal experiences, if you're in this group of American women for whom your first sexual intercourse experience was not voluntary, it was either a forced or you were coerced in some way, you did not give consent for this, this was not your choice. How then has that affected the ways that you talked with the young person in your life? 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Joaquin in South L.A. says 22% said drugs were involved, but the survey doesn't appear to ask about other drug use around the time of the assault. Dr. Hawks, can you speak to that?
So the question about receiving a drug at the time of the sexual, the time of the forced sexual initiation. Again, this is a question that immediately followed the question for women who identified their first sexual experience as forced. A series of questions asking about exactly how that was forced. So we can say that a quarter, about 22% of the women said that they felt that they had been given a drug or some sort of alcohol to change their ability to consent to the sexual act. The study does not have any information about other drug use or other alcohol use at the time of the sexual assault.
Olivia writes on the page, did the survey specify what was used for vaginal penetration? From experience, I think most younger kids experiment with hands. Can you speak to that, Dr. Hawks?
I do believe that the survey... the survey did not specify additionally exactly what was penetrating the vagina. According to a legal definition of rape, it does not matter what is penetrating the vagina, anything that is non-consensual and there is penetration is legally considered rape.
All right. We'll continue with listener calls. Again, I'm asking you if you're someone for whom your first sexual experience was one that was not of your own free will. It was involuntary, either forced or coerced to where you felt you had no option and you did not give consent, how then has that affected the way you've talked with your own kids, if you have talked with them about sexuality given your negative experience? 866-893-KPCC. Back in just 1 minute. A new survey published in the Journal of the American Medical Association finds almost 7% of American women surveyed said their first sexual intercourse experience was involuntary. It happened at an average age of 15, and typically the man was several years older. The question is, if you are one of those that is in that nearly 7% for whom your first sexual experience was not voluntary, how has that affected the way that you've talked with your son or daughter about their sexuality? 866-893-KPECC. Julie in Seal Beach, good to have you with us. How has your experience factored into your parenting?
Well, I am 61 years old, so I'm in maybe an older generation. And my first sexual experience, which was coerced when I was 14, maybe it was because the time, the era, I did not talk to about it, and I did not talk to my daughter, and her first was coerced. So my message is to all the mothers out there who have had this experience, no matter what your age is, please talk to your daughters. Please talk to your sons. Please don't let this be something that is hidden and shameful and not addressed.
Julie, what if you could go back, what would you have said to your daughter? Would you have disclosed what happened to you?
I would have. I would have in a very, when she was a little bit older, when she was younger, it's always hard to talk about sexual intercourse. But I would have talked more about how it's your body, your decision, take care of yourself. Don't let anybody talk you into anything. That's what I would have done when she was younger.
All right.
Now that she's older, I have explained to her what happened, and we've been able to sort of grieve together and counsel each other, and we both have been in therapy about it. So there can be a happy ending if you don't talk to your children about it, but I could have avoided it. I could have been more proactive instead of feeling the shame of the generation and not done anything.
Julie, it is so good, though, that for you and your daughter, you've been able to talk about this and share it together. Thank you for sharing your experience. Appreciate it so much. That's Julie in Seal Beach. We're at 866-893-KPCC. Danielle in Santa Monica says, I was barely 16 and allowed a 19-year-old boy I didn't know to visit me while I was babysitting. He forced himself on me. I was a virgin. I became pregnant and ended up marrying him. There can be many ramifications and lessons that I've passed on to my daughter, who's now 54 years old. That's Danielle in Santa Monica, 866-893-KPECC. Let's talk next with Emily in Altadena. Thank you for joining us. Emily, share with us, please, how your experience has informed your parenting.
I was coerced at the age of 17 by a 21-year-old, and I have a 10-year-old daughter. I'm not having full-fledged conversations about sexual activity with her yet, but I will be truthful with her as the years progress with, you know, some more detail, because I think that, you know, children are very perceptive. I certainly know my daughter is very perceptive, and she knows when I'm hiding something or not being entirely truthful. And so one way to encourage sex positivity is to be honest. So that's my intent.
And Emily, just briefly, what would be the sort of theme of what you tell her about being empowered sexually? How would you put it?
Well, we're already talking about consent and what that means at the age of 10 and with her 6-year-old brother. And we just talk about the difference between, you know, what feels good for you might not feel good for somebody else, and how you kind of increase your emotional intelligence by being a great listener and not always second guessing and thinking that you might know what another person feels, but by really talking about it, even when talking about something is embarrassing, difficult, scary, nerve-wracking, whatever that may be.
Emily, thank you so much. Good to have you with us. We appreciate it. Steve in Long Beach, you're on Air Talk.
Yes, my name is Steve, and can you hear me?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Okay, yes, and I'm coming at it from a different perspective. So my girlfriend, soon-to-be wife, she was molested and raped when she was 13, and that led into, oddly enough, there was some incest aspects as well. And coming into a relationship with her, considering how young that was, 13 to 18 roughly, that whole aspect of what is right and wrong when working with my children. Like, you know, she's hanging out at the house and she can go with the kids and do what she likes, but aspects of right and wrong are a little bit gray, and what she should and shouldn't do has been skewed, shall we say.
So okay.
She's very just kind of aware of how she communicates and what she says and what she wants to do.
All right, Steve, I appreciate your call. Let me go back to Emelinda McLean of More Than Sex Ed. Your thoughts on how to talk about this when one of the partners in a relationship or marriage has been abused, and to talk about, you know, how to deal with kids on this issue.
Absolutely. I really appreciate all of the callers sharing their stories. And I think that a common misconception is that talking to kids about sex and sexual topics at a younger age will encourage experimentation. And actually, all of the research shows that the opposite is true, that having honest conversations with children about sex and sexual topics encourages them to recognize that it's something serious and worthy of respect, and that children who have comprehensive sex education have a later age of sexual debut and are more likely to use protection when they do become sexually active. I recognize that it's an incredibly difficult topic for parents to talk about who are still holding trauma around their own sexual experiences, and I really support and encourage people seeking mental health care for this kind of trauma. I think that your study, Dr. Hawks, really illustrates that this kind of abuse of sexuality can lead to lifetimes of trauma with serious physical and mental health complications. I think that the conversation around consent doesn't have to be about sex. And one of the callers mentioned talking with a daughter about consent for her younger brother. And we can have conversations around consent when it comes to tickling or hugs or sharing toys. And I think that our culture does not do a good job of modeling consent, and that is why it is such a pervasive problem at every level in our society.
Emelinda McLean, I thank you very much for being with us. We appreciate it. Program director, co-founder of More Than Sex, based in Los Angeles, a nonprofit sex education program, and Dr. Laura Hawks of Harvard Medical School, Cambridge Health Alliance. I did want to close with you because the survey shows a number of associations between involuntary first sexual intercourse and a variety of other health concerns and mental health challenges and the like. Is there a way to tease apart whether the involuntary first sexual intercourse is a symptom of other problems that are going on, or whether the involuntary first sexual intercourse is causal to these other problems?
You know, with our study, the strongest statement we can make is that there is an association between the two, because this is not a randomized control trial or an experimental study. We cannot establish causality. However, we did make a number of adjustments for potential confounders, and we performed a bunch of sensitivity analysis to try to control for some what we felt may be additional confounders. And then we conducted some the analysis to study some outcomes which we felt were not could not be associated with forced sexual initiation, such as a later diagnosis of cancer. And we did not find an association in those instances. So, you know, we did our best to try and eliminate any potential bias, but it is not possible with our study to say that there is a causal relationship. I think for clinicians, it's important to identify the prevalence or to understand the prevalence of sexual violence in our society and to at least understand the associations between having experienced that that sexual trauma and how that sexual trauma may manifest itself in patients many, many years later.
Dr. Hawks, thank you very much for being with us today. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
Dr. Laura Hawks, who's an internist and researcher, Harvard Medical School and Cambridge Health Alliance, and the lead author of the study published this week in the Journal of the American Medical Association, finding almost 7% of women surveyed said their first sexual intercourse experience was involuntary. Valerie in downtown L.A. says, I was abused and parenting is hard. I want my daughter to be empowered to not just accept abuse as normal the way that I did. It cut me off from becoming a woman. I want her to understand what gives her power and what takes it away, and I want her to be healthy above all. Carol in Mar Vista says, I think the issue is more nuanced and has a lot to do with how victims feel about themselves. For me, my first sexual experience was forced upon me, but part of why I let it happen was because my sense of self was so low that I felt compelled to do it with him. That's Carol in Mar Vista. You can share your comments, even advice for other parents. If you're someone whose first sexual experience was involuntary, share how you've talked about it with your kids on the AirTalk page, kpcc.org. Back after a live update from Hetty Lynn Hurdies.